Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Everybody, this is Prophetess Crystal McQueen, and once again, welcome to Prophetic Atmosphere. I am excited tonight that you are able to take time out of your schedule, and let's just come together, amen, and just join in together, and let's just hear what thus saith the Lord. I just want to let you know, for all of you who have been following this ministry, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, and have been following us for quite some time, we just want to say thank you, that we love you, and that we are praying for you, for your continued success, that your continued obedience unto God, and that you will, amen, complete and fulfill your assignment in Him and in the kingdom. Amen. Amen. Just want to let you know, in the way of announcement, every Saturday at 10:30 a.m. and even on Tuesdays at 7 p.m., join us for Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen. And that's every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m. On Thursday nights, you know, join me right here for Prophetic Atmosphere at 7 p.m. And then also want to let you know that as far as our website is concerned, we have been making a couple of changes, and more changes are soon to come. Visit us there. You could hear all of our blog talk radio broadcast at www.ctkr.org. That's ctkr.org. That's all, as I said before, it's our website. You can hear all of our blog talk broadcasts that have already gone forth. Amen. Also, you can take some time to get to know more about Apostle McQueen and myself, and about Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. Amen. And even about the sons and daughters, amen, that God has graced us with to cover in ministry so that they too can fulfill His will in the earth. And I also want to let you know, and I'm more excited about it the closer it comes, I want you, amen, if you are in the Florida area and the surrounding Brevard County areas, join me, amen, for my conference, Women of Prophetic Destiny, October 18th and 19th. That's October 18th and 19th for Women of Prophetic Destiny. This year's theme is Do Not Abort Your Assignment. Oh, yes, I'm excited because God is already stirring some things up in my spirit concerning the powerful word that He wants to minister unto His people. Amen. And it is going to be hosted at Greater St. Paul Baptist Church, 213 Stone Street. That's Greater St. Paul Baptist Church at 213 Stone Street. Amen. In the beautiful city of Cocoa, Florida. We want you to be there. We have some power-packed teaching. Men and women of God are coming together, power-packed praise and worship. Amen. We just want to see God. My prayer, my desire is just to see God move in the lives of his people. Amen. And that when you leave that place, you will not only know your assignment, amen, but you will fully walk therein. Amen. No longer will we be making excuses why we can't do what God has called us to do. Amen. You will receive prophetic words in your hearing. We are looking for a high time in the Lord. And again, I want you to be there. Amen. More information is coming your way on my website, WOPD. You can find me under Women of Prophetic Destiny under my Facebook page. And you can also find more information under Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, also on our Facebook page. Speaking of the Facebook page, people of God, like us there. Amen. Like us on our pages. Send out your prayer requests, your praise reports. Amen. We want to know what God is doing in your life. If you would also like myself or Apostle McQueen to come minister, amen, at your church, we have a contact page on our website, www.ptkr.org. Please leave us your name, a phone number, an email address, and someone will contact you within 12 to 24 hours. Check out our media page as well. You can hear myself preaching the Word of God, and you can also hear my husband preaching the Word of God. He has a powerful message on there called What's in a Little Stick. I want to say that again, What's in a Little Stick. That's a powerful message that he preached in North Carolina. Definitely want you to hear that. Amen. And then God gave me a message to preach known as Has Success Caused You to Forget God? Has success caused you to forget God? It is a powerful message. The people of God were blessed and God was glorified, elevated, and lifted. Amen. In that place. So those are the announcements for today. Amen. And I want to go quickly into prayer, and we want to get right into this word tonight. Come on, let's pray. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you. I praise you. I glorify you. I worship you. You are God, and beside you, there is no other. God, we just humble ourselves this evening at your feet. We just bow ourselves low. We just submit our will to your will, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, even now, we ask that you would just begin to search our hearts and our minds. Father, take out everything that's not like you. Take out everything that causes us to go against the grain of your will in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we ask right now that you would begin to just pour out your spirit upon your people. We ask that you would begin to wash us in your blood, wash us from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet. Wash our minds, God, wash our consciousness, God, wash our souls, our spirits. God, give us a will to do your will. Put in us your will, Father, to complete your assignment in the earth. In the name of Jesus, oh, Father, right now as we just embark upon you and we praise you and we glorify you and we magnify you, Father, I'm asking now that your words would begin to speak forth in this place mightily on behalf of your people in the name of Jesus. God, those that are assigned to hear this message on tonight, let them tune in at the proper time, God. Let them hear a word that's going to deliver. Let them hear a word that's going to bring comfort. Let them hear a word that's going to bring enlightenment, God. Let them hear a word that's going to bring a peace to their soul. Let them hear a word that's going to break every shackle in the name of Jesus. Let them hear a word that's going to cause them to overcome the hand of the enemy, God. Let them hear a word on tonight, not my words, but you speak through me. In the name of Jesus, I decrease, God, and I pray that you will increase in me tonight as I go forth in your power and in your strength. In the name of Jesus, now, God, we ask, and we ask you right now, and we decree right now that you would begin to change, that you would begin to shift in this place. God, the lives of your people, we need to begin to manifest your glory in the earth. In the name of Jesus, God, I'm asking now that you would begin to turn over the prayer warriors, turn over the intercessors. Wake us up in the middle of the night, God. Cause us to cry out to you, God. with everything that is within our being. In the name of Jesus, let us no longer sit back in places of mediocrity, God, but let us rise up and take authority, the authority that you have given us, and by the using the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus, God, help us right now to walk in obedience to your will. Put in us a spirit of obedience unto you, a spirit of obedience to complete the man, your work in the earth, in the name of Jesus, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, to preach the gospel, the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ, that those that are not saved may hear, that those that may look at our lives and read our lives may see that there is a God that needs to be a God that still saves, a God that still heals, a God that still resurrects, in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, we bless your name in this place. We glorify your name. We worship your name. We lift up your name, God, in this house, in the mighty name of Jesus. Man, oh God, we give your name glory. We give your name honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen again. Wherever you are, people of God, give the Lord some praise. Give the Lord some glory. Lift up your hands. Open up your mouth and worship him. Open up your mouth and give him just some praise and some reverence right wherever you are. Hallelujah. If you're at work and you know you can't speak, just wave your hand in the atmosphere. Just let them know that he is worthy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, I thank you, God. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Your name is worthy to be praised. Thank you, Jesus. Well, people of God, like I said, I am truly excited, amen, about this conference that is getting ready to take place. I'm excited because God is doing some things for his people. Amen. God wants to do some things for his people. Amen. But here's the reality. We got to line up with his will. We got to line up with his vision. We got to begin to walk in obedience. Amen. If you've been listening to this broadcast any length of time, you will know that Apostle and myself are always teaching about holiness and righteous living and sanctification. God has given my husband a message, amen. He's just really been tearing down the strongholds and uprooting, amen, the weeds of this prosperity gospel that many of this doctor's false, erroneous, lies from the pit of hell doctrine that has been raising up in our churches and has been going forth, where we have people, amen, people of God that believe the more rich I am, the more holy I am, the more wealthy I am, the more righteous I am, the more that I have to flaunt, the more that God loves me. And we all know that it is a lie from the pit of hell. It is a doctrine that has been really orchestrated and divine and constructed. That's what I learned. I won't say it was divine because it wasn't a divine thing, but it's been constructed by the enemy that has crept in through many men and women of God, amen, who we look up to and listen to, amen. And we and as that gospel and as that false gospel that has gone forth, that Gnostic gospel that has gone forth, we have people now that are in the house of God believing that God loves me or believes that the only way that God can love me is that I am wealthy, that I am rich, that I have more to flash and more to show. And people of God, that if any of you would take a look in the Bible, you will see that that is really a falsehood, that is really untrue. The apostles were not, all the apostles were not, yes, they were men and women of God that were wealthy in the Bible, but when you look in the New Testament, you will find that the apostles were not all wealthy. They worked with their hands. They sweat with, you know, they had the sweat of their brow. Many of them were like still preaching the gospel, but they were running for their lives at the same time and leaping over walls trying to run for their life. And many of them ended up in jail and ended up beat down and scourged and ridiculed, amen, for preaching the true unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ. And we have now have created these gospel superstars, amen, that I call them, these men that have built up kingdoms unto themselves, where, you know, it's where they teach and train you that the more that you give in to me, the more that you will be blessed. And we teach and we have taught, many people have taught the people of God that if I give into my man of God or my woman of God, then God will bless me. Now, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with honoring, amen, and blessing the man and woman of God. They should be blessed, amen. They should be honored at the right time. But when you have people believing a mindset that the only way I can be blessed is if I'm slipping a 20 in your hand, if I'm slipping a 50 in your hand, if I'm slipping $1,000 in your hand, then I will receive your blessing. I will receive your anointing. And as my husband has taught, first of all, you cannot receive anybody's anointing as long as they're still alive. If the people are alive in the earth, their anointing rests upon them. And you can see that even in the Gospels, that as each person trained a successor, amen, and once they left, then the anointing, then that mantle, excuse me, fell up on them. But while they were here, they weren't able to tap into that. And we have people that are trying to tap into both anointings and mantles while they're still here. And they believe that if I pay my way, then I will receive, when that's not true. That's not true at all. And we have many true men and women and people that love the Lord, amen, with everything that they have, but they're struggling financially. They're giving everything that they got because they're believing, amen, that if I can just get my way out of poverty, I can get my way out of these dark places, I can get my way, when all you have to do for many of us is to, amen, walk in obedience. Some of us just have to, as we grow in God, as we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, do what he asks us to do, then these things shall follow. We have to really fully get the full concept, amen, that you cannot pay your way into heaven. You cannot pay your way into sanctification and holiness. It's still a lifestyle that must be lived daily. You must strive, amen, to perfection. Strive, and when I say perfection, strive to maturity. Every day you have to fight your flesh and put that joker down to say, not my will, but thine will be done. The Bible says in John 3:33-34, Jesus said to the disciples, my will, amen, or my food, F-O-O-D, is to do the will of the one who sent me and to complete his work. My food, my zeal, my task, my assignment is to do the will of the one that sent me and to complete his work. So men and women of God, once you're saved, once you accept the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, for those of you who have fully accepted the call, whatever that call, that mantle, that task, that assignment upon your life, once you accept that, you have to understand that it's no longer your will. It is his will. Your whole purpose and drive now is to seek out, amen, to seek his will, amen, push for his will to be fulfilled. And complete it. Now, along the way, amen, as you're doing that, then here comes the house, then here comes the car, then comes the money, then comes the favor, amen, then comes the extra things that you desire. Listen, God does not get glory with you being broke down, busted, and disgusted. No, he does not get glory out of that. He wants to bless his children, but he's not going to bless you when it's going to cause you to be driven in another direction far away from him. And for some of us, God has invested, amen, too much into us to let the devil have us. Many people have been wiped off the face of the earth. Many people God has taken because they refuse to take what he has given them and do it for the kingdom. Amen. And you have many that are doing it, quote unquote, as in their mindset for the kingdom, but it's really for they're leading his people, God's people, astray. So he just blows out the candlestick, blows out the flame on the candlestick. And what we have to do, men and women of God, we have to more now than ever. I'm convinced of this thing. It's all up in my spirit, all up in my spirit. I'm more convinced now more than ever that I must know this word. I must live this word. I must walk out his precepts and concepts in the earth. I must be able to defend this gospel at all costs. And you who are out there teaching and preaching and carrying your Bibles with you, you got to realize that this thing is not just a name tag we just pick up on and do my 8 hours to sit out. No, this is a job that you carry 24/7, 365, 7 days a week. There's not a time that we can lay our occupation down. Well, I'm off of work now, child. I got to go ahead and do this and do that. No, no. Once you come over on this side, once you are saved, once you accept him, you don't lay the occupation down. You wear that mantle until he calls you home. And we have too many people that want to pick it up at will and lay it down at will. And in the meantime, we're making a mockery of the gospel and we're messing up people's lives because they, too, they're looking to us and saying, oh, well, that must be what living for Jesus is. I can pick it up at will and I can put it down at will. It's working for them, so it might work for me. When God is holding us accountable, more stricter, those the Bible talks about, when he talks, I got to paraphrase this too as I'm grabbing the scripture. But to whom much is given, much is required. And I think, people of God, we forget there's certain powerful scriptures that are in the Bible that God is holding us to. Listen, and I'm getting to my scripture because you're probably wondering, when you're going to start talking, when you're going to give us the word. If you've been listening to me, you've been getting it already. But we're going into the scripture. Turn with me to the book of Luke. Chapter 12, start at the 22nd verse. Book of Luke, chapter 12, starting at the 22nd verse. And I'm coming out of the New King James for tonight. And he says this. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. He said, then he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. I need to stop there for somebody right there because it's been all about what I look like, how I sound, how I'm going to appear before the people. He said, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? If you, then, are not able to do the least, why are you so anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? Now, and do not seek what you should not eat, nor what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things, but seek, here it is, but seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And the word of God is blessed. Now here we have Jesus talking to his disciples, and he's basically telling them the same thing. He said, listen, don't worry about your life. And we have in that what you would eat and what your body and what you're going to put on. We're a society, amen, that is more concerned about how our appearance is, how we look, how we sound, what clothes we have on, what trends are going on. We're so connected to social media, amen, till anything else is uncivilized, basically. We're so concerned about how we can present the package. Now, I'm not talking about having a ragtag thrown together, you know, we just happy to be in the number, okay, because those days are over. When people come, amen, they need to see that you put your time in. When you put together a program, when God has given you an idea, you need to take the time, amen, to plan the idea and make sure that that idea presents itself in a beautiful package, because honestly, it gives glory to the Father. He's talking right here, Matthew 6:25-33. I'm not going to read all of that, but I do want to read this. He says, I say unto you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat, what you'll drink, nor of what even you'll put on. It's not life more than food and the body more than clothing. Huh? The birds of the air, they don't sow, they don't reap, but yet they're cared for. And he's saying this, you're more valuable, amen, than the creation, than nature. You're more valuable to me. So why am I got to sit up here and go into debt and trying to pretend to be something that I'm not? And we have, amen, persons right now that are pretending to be something that they're not. And they, when they come before you, they have on one mask, but then as soon as they leave your presence, they wear another mask, amen, that they don't even know who they are or what, you know, what personality do they want to put on today. But we're so caught up, amen, of looking good that we're not there for the real purpose of the kingdom. And as I said before, when God gives you an idea, amen, when God has you do something, then you plan it out perfectly. We came, and my husband talks about it so often, and it's the truth. God allowed us to be with one of our spiritual mothers, Bishop Iona Locke, amen, when our spiritual mother, Mother Estella Boyd, went on to be with the Lord. God allowed different powerful men and women to come into our lives and plant into our foundation. And one of the things that Dr. Locke, Bishop Locke, taught us was excellence. When it comes to God, she said, you need to give it all and be and make it excellent. Don't give God this ragtag, rag muffin thrown together offering, and into here, take it. You ought to be glad about it, but you want your blessing pristine on a gold platter, amen, delivered unto you with white horses riding in into the sunset. But you want to give God half of nothing and thinking he ought to be glad about it. Hmm? whatever he's given you, you do the best and present it in excellence with what he's given you. And then as God increases you, then you increase, you make it better every time that you do it. And as you give him glory in it, he will make sure that it looks pristine on a gold platter because you're offering him your best, not this come whoever will. We just going to throw it together, and then we going to be glad about it. Didn't we have a time? Didn't we have a time? But no one was saved. No one was delivered. Nobody's life was changed. Amen. It's time out for just us throwing folks up on a pulpit and on a stage, and there's no anointing, and their life is ragtag and messy. At the same time, people of God, we need to use some discernment because just because you can sing like a mockingbird and play almost like Mozart, but your life is messy. That's why you have to get in. Let me say this. I got to say this. If you don't get some discernment in your life, I'm challenging you, people of God. I'm challenging you. Many times God will show us stuff. We have discernment, but we ignore what we see. He shows you things. Yes, there's times God shows you things so that you can pray and seek his face concerning it so he can turn the situation around. But when it comes, amen, to ministering, we have to be careful, amen. I didn't say be scared. I said be careful, use wisdom, where you know we get too caught up in the look of everything, like I just talked about before. We're so caught up in the bling-bling, in the shine, that we'll have people that will that we know, amen, God will just open up a little a crack in the door, and you'll see, amen, that, there's some serious things going on here. And because the motive isn't right, the motive isn't right because you know, well, when this person comes, they're going to bring the money. And I've been trying to get this building. I'm trying to get closer to the building fund. So I'm going to let so-and-so come up in here and preach like crazy and let these folks throw money at his or her feet so I can go ahead and continue building my kingdom. But you're not realizing that whatever is in that person's spirit, every time they open up their mouth, they're putting that vial where they're spitting that all that blood, that poison over your sheep. And then you wonder why your sheep can't grow. You wonder why your sheep can't stand. You wonder why they're weak and sickly. Sometimes you just have to say no. Sometimes it's not about, I'll take the anointing any day over the gift, because I know when the anointing comes, the anointing is going to destroy the yokes. I know that when the anointing comes, that when people come in one way, they're not going to leave out the way that they came. I know when the anointing comes, sickness has to leave. I know when the anointing comes, deliverance has to happen. I know when the anointing comes, chains are broken off of people's lives. When the anointing comes. But when it's about the gift, we become emotional. We get our groove on, our bounce on. We get all caught up in our emotions about it, but we're still bound. We're still choking. We're still hurting. We're still sickly. And that's the difference. He said here, verse 23, life is more than your food. Life is more than your enjoyment. Life is more, than you always about party, party. Life is more than just, you know, going from conference to conference to conference. And believe me, Prophetess loves conferences. I do. I like to go to different people's conferences. I like that. I like to see the atmosphere. Those that are those conferences that are anointed, I like to see the people go forth and praise God. I like to see the people worship him and give him glory. I like that. I do. But when my life becomes more concerned with hitting the conference and getting to a conference and getting a 5-minute microwave meal versus getting in the Bible myself and getting before him myself and praying and speaking after him, then we have an issue. He said life is more than food and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, so they neither sow nor reap. God feeds them. Job 38 and 41 says, who provides food for the raven when his young ones cry to God and wander about for the lack of food? God. See, that's when you have to know and put your trust in him. Because when you know him and put your trust in him, when you are his child, and when you're connected to the vine, when you open your, when there's trouble, when there's situations and circumstances, when you begin to open up your mouth and cry out unto God, he will hear and he will answer. Oh, yes, he will. I'm a witness. When you cry out to him, he will answer you. But the challenge is you have to be connected to the vine. And we have too many people who are branches out here that aren't connected to anything. How many of you have seen the tree that when the branch falls off the tree, it dies? It shrivels up, it gets hard, it dies, it crumbles, it cracks, blows away with the wind. And we have many people that are not connected to the vine, which is Jesus Christ, and they're out here dried up, shriveled up, but they're steadily trying to preach, they're steadily trying to teach, they're steadily trying to lead people. Come on now. They're steadily trying to go forth and have that form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And when you when someone challenges them, amen, about being connected, they have every excuse as to the reason why they're not connected. Well, I ain't got to, you know, all I got to do is just answer to the man upstairs. First of all, he's not the man upstairs. He's God the Father. And I am his child. You are his child. How are you going to survive, amen, if you're not connected to the source? He says it right here. If then, verse 28, God so clothed the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? So you all bound up and tied up and stressed out and worried about this, that, and the other, and how the bill's going to get paid and how you're going to go forth, and I don't know, I'm going to make this, and this ain't going to happen over here, and I'm trying to get this over, and I'm trying to rub this together, and they just got to understand, oh, Jesus, I need your help. But you're not trusting him. If he said, he just said it right here, if God even sold the birds, the fowl of the air, is he not much more concerned about you? You may not have everything. You may not have everything, but you got something. You may not have an Audi, but you got a car to drive where you got from point A to point B. You may not have a six-bedroom home, but you do have a three- or two-bedroom apartment. You got somewhere to keep the roof over your head at night. You may not have all the money. Maybe every bill ain't paid, but he definitely makes sure that you can work out an arrangement. See, it's in the little things you got to give him glory for. We get caught up because we can't do the full thing, but listen, I thank God for the arrangement. You may not have all the food that you want, but he always makes sure that you can go buy McDonald's and get you a dollar double cheeseburger. Come on now. He makes sure that somebody comes by and says, you know what? Do you want something to eat? I got more than enough here. God takes care of his people, those that are connected to him. And yes, he reigns on the just as well as the unjust. Yes, that's true, people of God. I don't deny the word, but how much more does he take care of his own that are connected to him? But here's where I want to get hang my hat for the next last 20 minutes of this message here, this broadcast. He says here, verse 29. And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. In other words, don't be worried about nothing. My prophet, as you don't understand, there's some things coming down. This is Jesus talking. He said, and don't have an anxious mind. See, one of the tricks of the enemy is to get you all discombobulated and bring fear upon your life. When you have fear upon your life, when fear begins to operate through you, you don't make wise decisions. When fear begins to operate through you, you make decisions out of emotionalism. You make decisions that are quick, that have a quick end, and does not allow you to look down the road of tomorrow. And too often, that's what the enemy wants. He wants you to make a quick decision. How do you know fear is upon you? Because all of a sudden, worry starts stressing you out. You don't sleep at night. You're tossing and turning. You're thinking of everything that could go wrong. And it's nothing but a spirit of fear. And the Bible strictly tells us that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. A sound mind. A mind of peace. A mind that's strong. A mind that rests. And for some of you, you just need to get up in your bedroom or wherever you are and begin to bind up the spirit of fear and cast him out of your home so that you can finally lay down and get some sleep. Get some rest. That's really all your problem is. You just need to get some rest. But you need to look that devil in the eye and pull him up by the throat and snap his neck in two and cast him out and ask God to bring in a spirit of peace, the peace that guards our mind, guards all of our understanding, and then you need to go lay down and get you some rest. And I guarantee you, when you get you some sleep, everything will look a lot clearer, a lot different. It's not as bad as you thought it was. And even if the situation is tough, God always has some assistance along the way. He makes sure everything seems to come together. Even at its worst point, he makes sure that somebody is there to help you take it to the next, to get you from point A to point B. When you are connected. Oh, I know people of God, life comes at us fast. I know there are situations that have come that almost will at times take the breath, make you lose your breath. I've been there. I'm not talking about something that I heard. I know. My husband knows. We know. One day if he releases us, we'll tell you the testimony. We know. But even in the midst of that, God always made sure that there was a ram in the bush. God always made sure that we ate every day. God always made sure we had somewhere to lay our head. God always made sure that there was some money somewhere. God always made sure that the connections were right there while we were piecing it back together. But all the time while we were piecing it back together, we were still giving them praise. We were still giving them worship. Lord, we didn't understand. We would say, God, we don't understand why we got to go through. But you know what? You're on our side. If God is for you, who can be against you? And because of that, we didn't lose our minds in the middle, in the eye of the storm. And I know some of you can testify to that as well, that when it all broke loose in your life, and the reason why you kept your mind is because you kept your mind on him. You kept your focus on him. You were still giving him praise. You were still giving him glory. Oh, you may have to go home and cry. You may have to go home and limp. Amen. But you were still magnifying him in the midst of it all. And before you knew it, he had you brought out on the other side. And when you came out on the other side, you were standing at the higher mountain. You had a greater view. Do you hear what I'm saying tonight? He says, do not have an anxious mind. Do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. Help me, Holy Ghost, to preach it. Help me to receive it. Help me to go forward. For all these things the nations of the world seek after. And you see it every day, people of God. I got to get more. The children of the world are always seeking after the more, seeking after the more. But just as unsatisfied, the more that they take, they cannot get filled. The more that they drink, the more that they party, the more social life, the more this, the greater the house, the bigger the car, and yet still they're empty on the inside. They can't have peace in their mind, peace in their heart. He said, verse 30, for all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. Matthew 6:31 says this, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things, verse 32, the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. God knows. God knows you like nice things. God knows you want better for yourself and for your family and for your children. God knows. He knows. But as you walk, as you remain obedient, as you stay connected to the vine, which is the Father, as you stay connected to Christ, he will make sure, as you're giving him glory, as you're giving him praise, as you're going through the process, as you're being molded into his character, into his image and his likeness, as he's taking you through the process, you will know. He knows. He'll add it all to you. Why? Because verse 36, 32 says this. Do not fear, little flock, for as your Father, it is your Father's, excuse me, good pleasure to give you the kingdom. But I want to take it up just a half a second, a half a verse, excuse me. He said, for all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But here's what it's all about. Seek the kingdom, or seek his kingdom. Seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Well, what do you mean, prophet, is I got to seek the kingdom. In other words, your whole purpose for being here is to fulfill your kingdom assignment in the earth. Your whole purpose for waking up every day is that you can tell someone about the love of Jesus Christ, tell someone about his righteousness, his kindness, his loving, that you can live and be a light, L-I-G-H-T, in darkness in somebody's life, that they too will say, you know what? They just have a peace about them. It's just something. They remain calm in the storm at all times. It's something about them. I need that. I need that. And you never know who's watching your life. We don't think anybody's watching. That's why some of us living all crazy and cuckoo, because we don't think nobody sees us, because as long as when I walk into the house of the God, I can strap it down and tighten it up and pin it down and make it look good. Baby, if God has given people discernment, and he has, believe me, we can see that mess oozing out through the crack. That's why you don't want to tell nobody that you know them, because you're acting crazy. But listen, people are watching you. Don't think ain't nobody seeing you. Don't think nobody knows what you're doing. God always makes sure, huh, and the devil too, always make sure that somebody sees you at the inopportune time or the right time. Prime example, I was talking to my supervisor on the other day, and she said, Crystal, there's something about you. She said, you have a tendency to always remain calm in the storm. No matter what's going on, you're calm. Now, to me, I'm thinking I'm going crazy, hair on fire on the inside. But she said, no matter what we throw at you, you're always calm. Well, who do I give praise for that calmness? I give praise to God because I trust in him. I know how to get before him. I know how to take the burden, as they say, to the Lord and leave them there. I know how to cry out and hear, amen, from his lips to my ears, what I must do, where I need to go, what's the next move, how to stay focused. Lord, help me to stay focused here. I'm getting off the edge. I don't want to go off the edge. And he keeps me in perfect peace, all whose mind is stayed on me. And as long as he is my focus, I remain peaceful. The Message Bible says this, just to bring a little more clarity to it while my time is running. He said, verse 29. No, let's take it up to 28. Excuse me. He said, if God gives attention to the wildflowers, this is about the Message Bible, most of them never even seen, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, and do his best for you? Oh, I love that. He said, what I'm trying to do here is get you to relax, not be so preoccupied. Ooh, Jesus, here it is. Not to be so preoccupied with getting, so you can respond to God's giving. Oh, that powerful people of God. The Holy Ghost just woke that thing up, just wow. Because we as a people, it's too many of us that are too occupied with the getting. And we're trying to use God so that we can get more. Not more of him, but more of our stuff. More of my materialistic lifestyle that I'm accustomed to living. You're never satisfied where you are because you're always trying to reach for the greater. And there's nothing wrong with reaching for the greater when the motive is correct. When the motive's correct, there's no issue. You know how to work things out and wait on him, and he'll add and take you to that place. But he says here, I want to get you to relax. Too many of us are stressing out because we're too busy trying to get somewhere before we walk out the process to get there, where we can maintain it once we get there. He said, you're too preoccupied with getting, so you can respond to God's giving. As I walk the process out in due season, I will get what I've always desired, amen, according to his will, to have. He said, people, don't you know God and the way he works fuss over these things? But you know both God and how he works. Steep yourself. Steep yourself in God reality. God initiative. God provision. And I'm going to work that next week. Steep yourself in God reality. Get out of this makeshift fantasy world that the world and the social media and television has created for us. He said God reality, God initiative, and God's provision. He said, and then you'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. And don't be afraid that you're missing out. Don't let the devil get in your ear talking about you done missed your time, you too old, you done did this, you done messed this up, this blessing ain't coming around no more, it's over. He said, listen, it's in the Bible. I'm reading it right to you. He said, don't be afraid of missing out. The Father wants to give you the very kingdom itself. My God. He wants to give us. He wants to give to us more than we want to get. But our focus, our motive, our initiative has to be about God. Our provisions have to be dependent upon God. Our reality has to be about God. Everything about us has to be about Him and seeking Him. And fulfilling His kingdom assignment in the earth. My Lord. And once we do that, once we get the true focus, once we begin to understand our purpose, then our expectation, our appetites will change. Because something, and some of us can attest to this, some things we wanted so bad that when we got it, we found out it was the worst thing we could ever have. It was the biggest nightmare that could ever be made. And we wish we could turn back the hands of time. But that's what we wanted. Beg, plead, cry, held our breath, stomped our feet, had a temper tantrum. And finally it was given to us, and you found out this was the worst thing. That situation, it hurt you so bad, you cried. And even by the time that you crawled up out of it, and I do mean what I think, when you crawl up out of it, you still, even if your mind goes back there, just a brief whiff of it, you up here shaking and shivering because you barely made it out with your life. But this is what you wanted. That's why it has to be His kingdom being sought. That's why it has to be our sole purpose to fulfill His will, or that our task, our drive, is to fulfill our assignment and to complete it. Not our personal assignment, His assignment. And to fulfill it. Because we have to be honest, we don't have time. Time is winding up every day. I don't know about you, but every time I wake up, I can almost sense in my spirit that Jesus is one step closer than He was yesterday. And if any of you are in the vein, you know what I'm talking about. So we don't have time. We have to produce. We have to manifest His glory. We have to give Him excellence. We have to live. Help me to say it. Get it in your hearing. Get it in your spirit. You got to live a righteous, sanctified lifestyle. Somebody has to stand up for truth up in here. Why not it be you? Come on, let us pray. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I thank you. I thank you for your people. God, I thank you for allowing me this privilege to minister this word. Father, I'm asking now, as the word that was ministered tonight, let it ring like never before in the hearing of your people. Let it ring in our spirits. Let it ring in our hearts. God, our will must line up with your will. Our mindset must line up with your mindset. Even today, God, I'm asking that you would take out our will by the blood of Jesus and put in your will in the name of Jesus. Father, I'm asking now that this word will begin to awaken someone's sleepy spirit in the name of Jesus, that the blinders will be removed from off of their eyes and unstop the deaf ears and let them hear what you are saying to the church in Jesus' name. Father, I'm praying now that these seeds will bring forth a mighty great harvest from this day until the day to come in Jesus' name. Now, those that are not saved, please repeat this prayer. Father, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart and my life. Make your abode in me. I will live for you. I will do your will. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If you prayed that prayer, welcome to the kingdom of God. We pray that here at Christ the King Redemptive Ministry that you will find a Bible-believing and teaching church that's going to help you grow in the things of God, mature you spiritually in the things of God, so that you too can fulfill the assignment that he has on your life. Listen, go to my website, www.ckr.org. Amen. Click on our webpage. Let us hear from you. Amen. Let us have see your prayer requests and your praise reports. And don't forget, Women of Prophetic Destiny Conference, October 18th and 19th. Amen. In the beautiful city of Cocoa, Florida at Greater St. Paul's, 213 Stone Street. I want to see you there. Listen, I'm Prophetess McQueen, and I will see you again next Thursday at 7 p.m. Be blessed in the name of the Lord.